welcome to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liel, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. There are so many events that are going on right now, brethren. There are so many things happening all at the same time. We have been talking about the beast in several of our programs. I've been writing about the beast, and I'm trying to lay down a foundational groundwork to explain what the beast is. I am trying to communicate that the beast is an end-time empire, an end-time political entity, a government that encompasses the whole world. And in these programs, folks, we talked about the actual players of the end times. Now, I do not like to spend a long time on the topics that I touched, because you can't just stay on those topics and park yourself on those topics, folks. You will not make progress in your spiritual walk and in having your eyes open to the end times by just parking yourself in quote-unquote conspiracy theories. However, I did touch some topics that do fall under the category by some people as conspiracy theory. But folks, the things that I touched are not just speculation. The things that I touched are actually documented, and I mentioned people, some things that are going on in government policy that are documented and can be all referenced and found over the internet. It was all true, the things that I brought up. I also touched the topic of 9/11, the attack on September 11, 2001. I touched briefly some information about 9/11. But again, I do not like to spend too much time and just park myself on the theory of 9/11 truth, that the truth has to come out. I'm just showing you what happened, but it's not my main focus to try to convince everybody that 9/11 had a lot of unanswered questions, because we need to go way past that. I talked about 9/11 because I think it is a step. It is part of the process of waking up. So move past that, folks, but just realize that not everything is as it seems. Why am I bringing all this up? I am bringing this up and talking about my previous show because I know it was hard to hear, and possibly some of you that maybe listened to the last show found it so unbelievable that you said, I'm never going to listen to this Watchman guy again. He's crazy. I cannot believe he would insinuate these things. I'm mad at him. Therefore, I'm never going to listen to him again. He's whacked. In your mind, you threw me into that same category of people that believe in UFOs and Area 51 and Bigfoot, etc., etc., the National Enquirer. Folks, I'm after the truth. I do not believe in Bigfoot or UFOs, as we are told UFOs are, alien grays, etc., etc. I don't believe in all that stuff. The things that I bring up and share with you folks are things that can be documented, things that you can actually prove. Anyway, that is why I discussed these topics in my last program. Now, another topic that I want to talk about real quick is the topic of prophetic dreams and some of the dreams that I have published on my website that God has given me. You know, I don't really like to talk a lot about my dreams. I'm not trying to be a self-promoter. I don't want the idea to get across that I just depend on my dreams only. You know, I've had some people email me and say, well, you shouldn't just depend on your dreams. You should really depend on God. And I'm not just depending on my dreams, folks. The purpose of me talking about prophetic dreams is because the Bible says that in the last days, prophetic dreams would happen in the lives of people. Old men would dream dreams. Now, since I'm having dreams lately, and these have really started a lot in the last few years, does that mean I'm old? Well, the Bible says old men dream dreams. I'm 45 years old, so does that mean I'm old because I'm dreaming dreams? I mention the dreams that God gives me because I just want to, number one, warn the people that they may concern. Now, lately it seems like some of the dreams God has given me have been happening pretty quickly after I published them. The Midwest flood was published just 1 or 2 months. I don't have the exact time in my mind right now. But I published it, I think, just 1 or 2 months before the Midwest floods actually happened. So that was interesting. And then there was another dream that I published 2 months ago about Florida being flooded. And that one was real interesting on how that one occurred, because in the dream that I had about Florida, I saw an actual cutout of Florida floating in the air. It was like a plexiglass cutout of Florida. And then it fell 1 or 2 feet into a bucket of water. The lower one-third was underwater. And then a sponge started wiping Florida from left to right, east to west, back and forth. And as it wiped, the water, of course, would drip down into the bucket. And then a piece of steel wool suddenly appeared and took over the place of the sponge and started to wipe back and forth. But after just barely one wipe, I heard a voice say, stop, don't use steel wool because it's going to scratch the surface. So the steel wool disappeared, and then a sponge came back and started to proceed with the wiping of Florida left to right, cleansing it. And I didn't understand that dream. I didn't know what it meant, so I published it anyway a few months ago. And then we had Tropical Storm Faye just hit Florida. And it's real interesting that Faye, I mean, it really did that. It went back and forth across Florida. The bands went across, and it touched Florida 4 times, which was a record. So that was real interesting. Now, is that dream totally fulfilled, though? You know, I really thought it was. And, you know, the interesting thing about having prophetic dreams, brethren, I need to just touch this real quick, is that when a person has a prophetic dream, and then they wake up and they write it down and journal it, and some of you that have had these dreams know what I'm talking about. You know, you can have a dream, but most of the time, when you have a prophetic dream, you might not understand what it means. And that seems to be the way it works out for me. I don't know what they mean, but I write them down and I publish them. And then with time, the interpretation will come. Whether it's a fulfillment of an actual event, or if someone else that has the gift of interpretation explains it to you and explains what it's talking about. And by the way, those of you that email me and explain what your take on some of the dreams that I have published, I appreciate those things. I really do, because I don't, you know, we all see through a glass darkly, folks. The Bible says so. It says while we're in this body, we see through a glass darkly, and we only know in part, and we can only prophesy in part. So one person will not have the entire answer ever about a prophecy or a dream. I think God does that on purpose, because it makes us have to depend on each other, and it keeps us from having pride, one person having all the answers. Even Daniel struggled with that. In the book of Daniel, he said that the dream disturbed him, but he didn't understand the dream that he had, the night vision. So we all have that handicap. Why am I bringing up dreams right now? Well, because the last two that had to do with storms seemed to happen pretty quick. The Midwest storm again, and then the Florida storm. I have others that I have published that are on the website. If you want to go and read them, you can read them. Some of them, I think, are going to happen way into the future. In fact, one of them, I think, is for the tribulation period, so that's going to be way into the future. There's no way it could happen outside the tribulation, because it is just apocalyptic in what I saw. The super hurricane that I saw in Australia, that just was devastating. That one has to be during the tribulation. But there was another one that I just published recently, and I wrestled with this, brethren. I really, really wrestled with publishing this one, because it's very spooky. And for 2 or 3 months, I just kept it to myself. The reason that I really had a hard time talking about it was because it was spooky, and I didn't really want to scare any listeners that happen to live in this geographical area. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Houston. I had a dream about Houston, and I published it, so it's on my front page of my website. And it is pretty spooky, folks, but you see, there is no way of knowing when these things are going to happen. They could be years off. There have been people that have had prophetic dreams that decades have gone by before they've come true. And it seems like a lot of people have had either visions or dreams about the destruction of America, and years have gone by. So it can be well into the future, and possibly this dream that I had is in that time period when America does finally get destroyed, which it would have to be during the tribulation period. So I don't want to raise alarm that it's going to happen next week. All right, folks? So those of you that happen to live in the Houston area, if you read that prophecy dream that I had, God always protects his own. There's another sermon that I have coming, a Bible study that I have coming, that's going to talk about how can we be protected in the judgment time of God. And the Bible does make it very clear how we can have the hand of protection over us when God's hand smites the land. He does protect his. Okay, folks, so as long as you are his, as long as you are doing what you're supposed to be doing, as long as you are pleasing in his sight, he's going to protect you. So regarding the vision I had about Houston, some of you might be saying, what was it? Tell us. I don't have time to go to your website and read it. Well, okay, I'll just say it real briefly. I'll cut it short. I won't say the entire thing. But in this dream, I was in Houston after a destructive event occurred. And I found myself on a street, driving down a street, and there were hundreds of emergency workers parked along the side of the road involved in rescue efforts and in recovery efforts. And they were parked next to a neighborhood. It was a housing subdivision. And this neighborhood was totally gone. It was wiped out. The houses were totally gone. The only things that were standing in the neighborhood were remnants of trees that were snapped off at about the 30-foot height. The branches were totally gone. So they were just like telephone posts sticking up out of the ground. And all of the trees were black. And they had a coating of soot, black, very thick soot like from a chimney. And the ground was covered with soot. Everything was black. So the only thing that could have done that was a fire of some sort. It burned, as far as the eye could see, it kind of looked like the remnants of those pictures from Hiroshima or Nagasaki in Japan after the bomb was dropped. So when I was looking at the destruction, in my dream I was wondering to myself, was this done by a bomb? If it was done by a bomb, why are we all here walking around ground zero? And of course that question wasn't answered to me in the dream, so if it was done by a nuclear source, that does not explain why civilians were allowed to be in the area of destruction. So I don't know what it means, folks. The recovery efforts were so massive that even Boy Scouts were helping out with their uniforms on, teenage kids that were Boy Scouts were helping out the rescue. And there were a lot of people across the street, opposite the street where the emergency workers were doing the recovery efforts, and the people were just in a daze. They were in a hypnotic gaze looking at the destruction. And as I walked along the road, I saw this little girl that was about 5 or 6 years old, and she was in shock and a daze. And I leaned over to just talk to her. How are you doing? And she didn't answer me. She didn't look at me. And so I gave her a balloon in the dream. And then I left her. And then I got in my car and continued on down the road. And suddenly the road was covered with an obstruction of mud that had leaked over from the neighborhood where the houses were. It leaked over into the road, and it was like 1 to 2 feet thick of mud. So it was really, it was a mess in this dream. So, and then the dream was over. I had that dream about 2 to 3 months ago, and I talked to a buddy of mine that happens to live in Houston, and I said, what could do that? And we discussed it, and I mean, we brainstormed a refinery explosion, possibly. But to burn every house standing would have to be a massive refinery explosion, or maybe a nuclear bomb in a refinery, and the shockwave and the heat leaving ground zero that would be in the refinery hitting outer neighborhoods possibly could burn all the neighborhoods to a crisp. So I don't know, folks, but that's the dream I had. I published it, and just ponder it. All right, folks, ask God to cover you, to cover your family, and to protect you. I don't know. I have no idea, but I had it. I don't know what they mean, folks. I really don't know what they mean, so I was just throwing that out there. Also, in my spirit, now this wasn't a dream that I had, but it's been in my spirit for the last 6 months. When I look at a map, I have a map of the United States on my wall, and I use it to see where my listeners are from. And when I see this map, in my spirit, I have seen a hurricane coming in from the Atlantic and hitting the area of Georgia. And this is in my spirit, folks. This isn't a prophetic dream. It's just in my spirit. It's different. So I decided to go ahead and publish that one. And it's a pretty big storm that in my spirit I see. I don't know if that's this year or next year or when. But anyway, I published that one also on my website. So just a word of warning, if some of you folks might be living in Georgia and if they ever say that a storm is going to be coming to Georgia, this one's going to be pretty big. So if you hear of a storm coming to Georgia, make the proper arrangements. That would be my advice. Just in case. Doesn't hurt to be safe. Now, while I am sharing this right now, here we are. It's Friday, the last Friday of August 2008. It's August the 29th today. And we have several storms, potential storms, that are out in the Caribbean and in the Atlantic. They're in line like a convoy of trucks, folks. Three of them, I believe. So I have no idea what the landscape of America is going to look like in 1 week from now. Or a week and a half. I don't know if these storms are going to affect America. They're saying, at this point, what I've heard today is that they're saying Gustav, which is west of Jamaica right now as we speak. They're predicting that it's going to hit Louisiana, and they don't know exactly where, but they are predicting that Louisiana is going to get another one, and this could be a pretty big one, so let's just see what happens. If you're listening to this a week from now, then you already know what happened. And then there's another one called Hannah that's out in the Atlantic, and then past that, there's another one, I don't know what the name is. So anyway, why am I talking about storms right now, and why did I mention dreams and visions? The reason I did that, folks, is because my Florida dream, someone emailed me and said, you know, when Florida got flooded, actually the worst rain was not the south part of Florida. It was the middle and the top of Florida. So do you think your dream is still partially unfulfilled? Because the bottom part of Florida was in the bucket. And I thought about it, and you know, folks, I don't know. I really don't know. Possibly that part is still to come. So we'll leave it at that. We'll see what happens, right? That's why I'm bringing it up, though. I'm not putting total faith in just dreams and visions, folks. Those are just a little side thing that God does at His sovereign choice. He does that. But still, our faith needs to be in Him for our trust, and our faith needs to rely on the foundation of the Bible, what the Bible says. And I believe that most of the listeners that are listening to me right now have the maturity to understand where the priority should be as far as dreams. So anyway, I wanted to talk about that, and I did. Now let's talk about the news. Like I said, there's a lot of events happening that have been bumped for other news worldwide. A lot of it is going on. We had the economy get bumped by the Olympics, and then the Russian story bumped the Olympics, the war in Russia, in Georgia actually, when Russia went into Georgia, the South Ossetia War. The Russian Ossetia event, I want to touch that one real quick. Folks, not everything is as you have been told. Events are happening very, very quickly to the point where the saber rattling is becoming very serious between us and Russia. The words have been thrown out there that are sounding more and more destructive and more serious. Words like World War III, nuclear war, nuclear bombs, nuclear first strike have been exchanged by both sides now. Russia has been saying it. We have been saying it. It's not a good situation. In fact, if you want to know the truth, folks, it's deteriorating very quickly. The new president of the United States, whether it's Barack Obama or John McCain, is going to be facing this scenario of an actual war with Russia. It's heating up, folks. The events are heating up. Aside from, you know, people email me and say, you talk about gloom and doom. Well, we're at the brink of another world war, possibly, after the new president comes into office. We need to know about these things now. That's the news that is going on. Bottom line, a new Cold War is brewing, brethren. Anyway, so who's going to be the president? Here we are, the end of August. Who will be the new president? As of today, we know who the candidates are, and we know who both vice president picks are now. Today, John McCain announced the governor of Alaska is going to be his choice, and who's a female, by the way. I have not done much research about her. She's a mother with 5 children. Supposedly, she's a Christian. She has a degree in journalism, but as far as studying who she is, I don't know. In the next program, I will be bringing you more information on John McCain's vice president pick. Obama, on the other side of the aisle, has picked Joe Biden. Are they radically different candidates, brethren? You know, their speeches sound different. Obama talks a lot about change. McCain talks about country first. But if you look at their involvement as far as foreign policy and what their goals are in foreign policy, they're the same. Barack Obama is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. His wife, Michelle Obama, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Joe Biden, his vice president pick, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. They're all CFR members. John McCain is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Who is the Council on Foreign Relations? That's one of the Google search terms that I gave you if you want to do research on them. Who are they? They are a globalist think tank started by Cecil Rhodes that wants a new world order, a globalist government. The globalists, that's what they want, the new world order. So both sides of the aisle, both of the presidential picks, as far as Democrat and Republican, are CFR members. So is there really a difference in what they want to do? The change that Barack talks about, is that really different than what McCain wants? I don't think so, brethren. You know, Barack Obama made a speech in Invesco Field in Denver the final night of the Democratic National Convention, when he accepted the nomination, he made a speech that was, they're saying it's going to go down in history as one of the great speeches of all time. It was inspiring. It was great. And I'll be honest, it was a good speech. In fact, I heard that he writes his own speeches. So Barack is brilliant as far as a speaker. He's gifted. But does that mean he's the best choice? Does that mean that it will be any different? You know, one of the things he said was, we will keep our promise to every young American. If you commit to serving your community or your country, we will make sure that you can afford college. There it is again, brethren. Civil service, conscription of all the young people. Have them serve their communities and their countries for 1 to 2 years as youngsters, as young people, to be a part of some kind of program that he has in the making. You know, I had an article, it's on my website, about the brown shirts that are coming. Barack stated that he wants to start an army of young people that's as well-funded as the military and that is as powerful as the military. That was a disturbing statement that he made, because that's what Hitler did. Hitler had his youth brigade of brown shirts, the Stasis, you know, the tattletale squads. Hitler did the same thing, brethren. Is that what Barack has in mind? I don't want to accuse him of that, but it's very suspicious. If we're going to be vigilant, we have to ask those questions. Are we going to have a youth brigade of tattletales that carry Uzis and machine guns? Are we going to have kids that are 17 and 18 and 19 year olds walking around the downtown areas of every city patrolling, forcing people to do this or that, forcing the new government policy on the citizens? Are we going to have that, brethren? I don't know. But Barack keeps talking about it. He wants his youth brigade to happen, his young army. Joe Biden, his vice president choice, what does he believe? Well, he's a New World Order globalist. He wrote a speech. He gave a speech called On the Threshold of the New World Order, A Rebirth for the United Nations. That's Joe Biden for you. He was a member of the Homeland Security Committee. He voted on the Patriot Act. He believes in all the spying and all the Constitution-killing laws that we find ourselves in right now. Joe Biden's behind all that. He believes in all that, folks. So even though Barack Obama makes a beautiful speech, the people that he has surrounded himself with want the New World Order, including himself and including his wife, Michelle Obama, because she's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Obama has also placed in his company of advisors Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's his foreign policy advisor. Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's he, brother? Well, Zbigniew Brzezinski founded the Trilateral Commission with David Rockefeller. The Trilateral Commission is a puppet of the globalist elite. They're a think tank that wants to bring about the New World Order as well. That was started during the 70s, during the Jimmy Carter era. Zbigniew Brzezinski, by the way, does not like Russia. He did not like the communists. He was responsible for a lot of the foreign policy fiasco and mess that we witnessed during the Jimmy Carter era, because he was one of the cabinet members for Jimmy Carter. Zbigniew Brzezinski, look him up, folks. Very hard to spell name, but this person's a globalist also. If Obama gets into office, the saber rattling that we are experiencing between us and Russia is only going to increase. Very interesting days ahead that we see coming, brethren. If Obama wins, I'll just say this, brethren. Prepare to see a new Cold War begin. A very serious new Cold War between us and Russia. Prepare to see it. And I would also say this. Prepare for a potential real war with Russia, possibly World War III. So am I saying that McCain's better? Well, no. He's a cowboy. He's quick to the draw. He's even more quick draw than our present president, George Bush. It's going to be interesting, brethren. It's going to be really interesting what we see happen in the days ahead. Okay, brethren, I have talked a lot about current events, but I want to switch now into the segment of a Bible study. I want to talk about spiritual matters now. I need to talk about spiritual matters now. Now, the things that I'm going to say, brethren, are going to be very strong, but I need to be strong in how I say them. Folks, I'm going to take off the kid gloves, and I'm going to be blunt, and I'm just going to say the truth, all right? So, if these words hurt you, put on your steel-toed boots, because they might step on your toes. So, I'm warning you now to do that, okay? Question. Did you pass the test?
What test is that, brother?
The test about false signs and lying wonders. That test. Did you pass it, brethren? Did you pass it, folks?
Well, you're not being very clear, Brother Nathan. Tell me what you mean.
All right. The test about Lakeland, Florida. The test about Todd Bentley. Did you pass that test? Did you pass it with flying colors, folks? Are you battered and bruised by Lakeland? Did you get beat up by it? How many of you have been hearing about Lakeland, Florida, and your friends have tried to warn you about Lakeland, Florida, and you got mad at them? You really, really got mad at them because they said some things that you didn't want to hear, but they told you some things because they care about you and they love you. But still, you got mad and angry. How about you, folks? Did you get beat up with words, the words of truth from your friends? I've talked about Lakeland on and off the past several weeks, several months. And those of you that have listened to my previous programs, you know where I stand on the Lakeland thing. Well, my phone is ringing. Do I answer it while I record? No, I do not. We'll just let it finish ringing, and then I can move on. Okay. For those of you that have been vigilant on the Lakeland fiasco, I salute you. Those of you that have done your research, those of you that knew from the very get-go what was going on over there, you knew in your spirit that it was messed up over there, and you tried to warn your friends, you tried to warn family members, you tried to tell your pastor about it, I salute you. Whether or not you got beat up on it, that's not the point. That's expected, brethren. The Bible says they will persecute you if you choose sides with Jesus. Interesting, huh? Interesting that when you go for the truth, when you make a decision for the truth, you get beat up, you get persecuted, you get talked about, you get chewed up and spit out. It's very interesting, brethren. That's the way it works when you choose the side of the truth, of Jesus. When you're on the fence, you don't get beat up. When you don't choose the truth, you don't get beat up. Here's a litmus test, folks. A barometer to always remember. Remember this. If you're getting beat up for the truth, brethren, then you're doing something right. Of course, people might say, well, Todd Bentley was getting beat up, so does that mean he was getting persecuted for righteousness? I guess I must qualify it. You're blessed if you're being persecuted for standing up for biblical truth. How's that? If the things that you stand up for are proven in the Bible and you're getting beat up, then I salute you. Okay, brethren? Now, before I talk about Lakeland, a lot of things. By the way, brethren, if you haven't heard the news, which I'm sure by now you have, the things in Lakeland have totally changed. Todd Bentley, the story about Todd Bentley has totally changed. The equation has radically changed, brethren, radically. And I want to talk about those things. Okay? Before I do, though, I want us to read some scriptures. I want to establish what I'm going to say with the Bible. So, get your Bibles now. Pause me if you need to pause me. Go get your Bible. I want you to see this, and after I read this, if you have a highlighter or if there's any way that you can mark this part of your Bible, mark it. The verses that I'm going to give you, okay? Now, in these end times, in these last days that we find ourselves in, there seems to be a division that I see happening amongst the Christian body of Christ. That division happens to be a very lopsided division because on one side, it's probably 99% of all people that call themselves Christians, evangelical Christians, that might go to a large church or an evangelical church. And then there's the 1% that might attend a church, or maybe they're part of a home church, or maybe they're not going to church at all. Maybe that's one of you. So this division is very, very lopsided, but here's what it is. The division of the 99 percentile does not really know about the topics that we're going to discuss right now. I have talked about them in some of my other messages, and it happens to do with fake preachers. It happens to do with ministers who are just getting rich off the saints, off the people of God, and who I consider false teachers. Now, the 99 percentile of people who are part of the status quo of Christianity are not aware that these people are out there because they're under the hypnotic spell of them as we speak. Because they happen to attend some of the churches that these fake preachers and false ministers have built. But in spite of these false teachers existing, and in spite of many verses in the Bible describing them, most Christians don't know that they exist, and most of the 99 percentile aren't aware that the Bible speaks about these false teachers over and over in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. It's all over the pages of the Bible. If you happen to be a new listener of me, brethren, friend, or if you consider yourself a foe because you think I'm crazy, in spite of whether or not you agree with me, these verses still exist. In spite of whether or not you think that I am mean, that I'm a little bit too harsh, that I'm negative, that I'm cynical, these verses still exist and are printed in your Bible. So that's what I want to talk about, folks. The thing that really amazes me is how could so many people own Bibles and carry them to church with them proudly and hold them up when the preacher starts. Everybody hold up your Bibles. I believe Joel Osteen starts his sermons that way. Hold up your Bible, folks. And everybody holds up their Bibles, but they have no clue what's written in it because they don't read the thing. It's a piece of decoration when you get home. It sits on the coffee table, gets thrown into the bookshelf, and as the last resort part of the tradition when you go to church on Sunday, you look for it on the shelf. So the husbands ask their wives as they're leaving for church, "Where's my Bible, dear?" And the wife will say, "Well, where did you put it last week when you got home from church?" People do not know their Bibles, and that's what we're going to talk about, folks. There are many warnings in Scripture about false teachers. So the reason I want you to get your Bible is so that you could mark in your Bible that these verses are there so that you can know and use them as reference for yourself and for your unbelieving Christian friends who don't believe any of the things that you're trying to warn them about. All right? Have your highlighter, have your Bible, and here we go. If you're listening to me right now, you find yourself in one of two camps. One camp would be that you supported what happened in Lakeland, Florida, and even right now, you still support what happened in Lakeland, Florida. You've convinced yourself that it was all great, and that's where you stand. The other camp would be you do not support what's happening in Lakeland, Florida, and when it started, you didn't support it. Maybe you realized from the very beginning, or maybe over time and through seeking God or someone talking to you, or maybe you heard me talk, you came to realize that what happened in Lakeland, Florida was not right. So you're of one of those two camps. Now, if you find yourself in the lukewarm camp and you can't decide, just keep listening. Maybe, perhaps, the things that I'm about to share will help to change your mind. Okay? Now, the things that I'm about to say, folks, I want to warn you right now, I'm taking my kid gloves off. I'm not going to patty cake around this issue. I'm going to take off my gloves, and I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to say what needs to be said. I'm forewarning you right now. Of course, those of you who have listened to me for long enough, you know that's what I do. So, here we go. I have another question. The first question was, did you pass the test? The other question I have is, have you ever been deceived in your life? Ever? Whether it's from friends, a loved one, a spouse, your kids, your parents, or someone you don't know. Have you ever been deceived? Of course you have. We've all been lied to. We've all been lied to, folks. And it doesn't feel good to be lied to. And depending on who did the lying, it may hurt more or less. But we've been lied to, right? Now, brethren, your duty as a believer is to learn the Word. I'll say it again. Your duty as a believer is to learn the Word. I didn't say learn the world and all the things in the world. I said learn the Word. Once you make the choice to start following Jesus on the narrow road, your job is to learn the Word. It's your duty to learn the Word. Now, in addition to learning the Word, is it your job to seek after signs and wonders? No. It's not your job to seek after signs and wonders. It's your job to learn the Word. What's the Word? The Word is the Bible. Who's the Word? The Word is Jesus, Yeshua. It says in 1 John 1, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word. The words written in the Bible, brethren, those are the words of Jesus. That's His mind. That's the way He thinks. It's Him. So if you know the Word, you will know Him. If you know Him, you'll know the Word because you have been reading the Word and you know the Word. Now, if all you do in your whole life is just read the Bible and study the Bible, you're going to understand who Jesus is. You're going to understand and know Him. But I'm going to throw this in, brethren. If all you did in your Christian walk was sang songs at church, every time you met with other Christians, you just sang songs without reading the Word, guess what, brethren? You would not have a mature relationship with God, and you would not know the Word, and you would not know Jesus. Also, I'll throw this in. If all you did was go to quote-unquote revival services every night and sat in the front row and watched a lot of signs and wonders every day, and you did that for weeks and weeks, but you never opened the Bible and you never studied, you would not know Jesus. So, folks, out of all the experiences that are out there, without the study of the Word, without a firm foundation in the Word, you will not know Jesus. You will not know how He thinks. You will not know what He wants to warn us about. You will not know His commandments. You will not know how you're supposed to act in your Christian walk when you go to work, in your relationship with others. You will not know. How can you? You don't read the Word. So what I'm trying to say, folks, is your job, your duty as a believer is to learn and know the Word. Period. That's the most important thing. Now, this thing that happened in Lakeland, Florida occurred, and millions of people got a hold of it and believed in it for one simple reason, and that's this. Because they do not know their Bibles. They do not read the Word, they don't study the Word, and they are spoon-fed, and they have got used to live their entire Christian life, going to church for their hour and a half of duty on Sunday, and being spoon-fed by a minister, and they don't know the Word for themselves. They heard about the excitement in Lakeland, and they went, and they fell for it. It all happened because people did not know the Word. If you don't know the Word, that means you do not know the truth. If you do not have a love for the Word, that means you do not have a love for the truth. The Bible is very clear, brethren. It says, because the people did not have a love for the truth, then God will let them believe a lie. He will send them a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie. So here we are in the aftermath of Lakeland, Florida. A lot has happened over there. Those of you that have been keeping up with what happened down there might already know what I'm about to say as far as what has become of the Lakeland, Florida revival and what has become of Todd Bentley. Perhaps you've heard rumors here and there, but I'm going to just talk about it. We're going to discuss this thing. Okay, folks? Before I mention and go into Todd Bentley, I want you to open your Bible and we're going to read some passages. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn there, folks. If you have your highlighter, get it out and highlight this. Now, it's so amazing to me. For years, I have warned people about the false preachers that are out there, and it's amazing when I name names and tell people so-and-so is a fraud. It's amazing that some people will hear me say that, and they get upset and offended and say, no, you shouldn't be talking about God's anointed. Who are you to do that? Who are you to judge? Etc., etc. And these people have no idea that false ministers are out there. They just cannot comprehend that they are being taken for a ride. People have no comprehension of that, and the only reason that they have no comprehension of that is because they have not read in the Bible that God wants to warn us about those people, okay? So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Look what it says. Let's read that, folks. 2 Corinthians 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, now right here, Paul is telling us that there are apostles of Christ that are out there that transform themselves into quote-unquote apostles of Christ that are really false. They're not real. They're deceitful. They decided to tell everybody that they're apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no marvel, or in other words, and don't be surprised about this, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, the true form of Satan isn't the guy in the red outfit with the pitchfork and the horns. Satan is very deceitful, brethren. He looks pure and clean, legitimate. He looks real. So it stands to reason that any of his fake, false, deceitful representatives are going to look real and legitimate. But they're not. They are false. They're deceitful. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Look at that again, brethren, verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also are transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So in other words, when you have a false teacher or a false minister, brethren, they're not going to out in the open say, okay, from now on there's no sin, there's no hell, follow me and believe what I say. Yes, there are some knuckleheads that do that out there. There are some that believe that. But for the most part, the ones that are deceiving act like they're ministers of righteousness, but they're still deceitful. They're still false. And their God is Satan himself. So right here, the Bible's telling us they do exist. So brethren, when I mention names, because I'm going to mention some names, and some of these names may be people that you worship and you think are without blame, and you think they can do no wrong, but I'm going to mention their names. And after I mention their names, your response is going to be one of two things. Amen, brother, or actually one of three things. It's going to be amen, brother, or it might be, ouch, thanks for telling me, I will heed this warning. Or it's going to be, I don't believe you. How dare you? And if I ask you to check it out for yourself, some of you may check it out, but for the most part, those of you that are blind and you have your head in the sand, you will refuse to check it out, and you're going to continue supporting and being lied to by these false ministers. I have no idea why you would keep doing that, but you will. There are always different categories of people When you tell them the truth, some people, it hits good soil and they believe you. Other people believe you for a while, but the birds come and take the, you know, the Satan. He'll come and rob the truth from you, and then you stop believing the truth. Other people hear, and it just hits hard ground, hard soil, rocky soil, which is really your heart, is rocky and crusty. So the word cannot penetrate your heart. That's what the truth does to those of you with hard hearts. And then there's others that your heart is kind of good, but the cares of life will steal it away. So you will be washed to and fro with whatever comes around. You're not very stable. So I'm going to have all flavors listening to me right now. I cannot help those of you with hard hearts. It's going to have to be your choice to break up the fallow ground that you have. I cannot help those of you that are flaky and have sandy soil. I can't help you either, but all I can do is tell you the truth. It's your choice, brethren. You're the one that will stand before God. You're the one that will give an account on whether you listen to the true words from people that God sends to you. It's not an accident you're listening to me. So there are ministers that say they are representing righteousness whose God is Satan that are out there. We just read it. They set themselves up as apostles. That means, folks, that there are some people on TV, on the internet, at churches who will put on their sign, Apostle so-and-so, John Doe, Apostle so-and-so. They call themselves apostles. They tell you that they're an apostle. The Bible says here that some of these people set themselves up to be apostles, and their God is Satan. Some of you are thinking of people right now, I'm sure. Well, I can think of someone that said he's an apostle. I wonder if... Nah, it's not him. It has to be somebody else. Folks, here's the sad truth. Some of the people that you may think are great teachers, and they call themselves apostles, and let me go even further. Some of them might not even be calling themselves apostles, but they're ministers of God. They're frauds. They belong to Satan. And I'm going to establish that. We're going to talk about that. Now, we just read 2 Corinthians. Mark that. 11:13-15. Mark that in there. So far, what we have discussed is that there are false teachers out there. Now, we're going to read another passage in the Bible, and I doubt seriously that you will ever hear anyone on TBN or Daystar or God TV or 700 Club talk about these passages of Scripture to warn you that the frauds are out there. I doubt you will hear it, but we're going to discuss it because it's still in your Bible. So turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 2, 2 Peter 2, folks. And there are a lot of verses we're going to touch here, so get your highlighter ready. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Here we go, brethren. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So far, folks, what we just read right here is that there are going to be false teachers among you. And what are these false teachers going to do? What are they going to do, folks? It says they're going to bring in heresies. Heresies that are condemnable, damnable, that even deny the Lord. They deny Jesus. They deny the blood of Christ. They deny the importance of Christ. They deny the priority of Christ. They deny the priority of what Jesus talks about. What does Jesus talk about? The blood, faith in Him, salvation, righteous living, loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Everything Jesus talked about, these false teachers will deny those things because Christ is those things. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the truth, the way of the truth, shall be evil spoken of. Look at that, folks. Verse 2, many, many, many people, a host of people. The road is wide to destruction. Most people listen to the false teachers that are out there, even right now. I remember Todd Bentley said something. He said, people do not need more of Jesus. People need more of the supernatural. Do you remember him saying that, folks? It's on YouTube. You can find him saying that. So, right here in verse 1 where it says, they shall deny the Lord Jesus that bought them. When Todd Bentley said, we don't need more of Jesus, but we need more of the supernatural, he was doing what this verse said, denying Jesus. Of course he was. We don't need more of Jesus. We just need more of the supernatural. Well, Mr. Bentley, what is the supernatural? When it's really done by Yeshua, God, the supernatural is Him. Without Him, there is no supernatural. And how many people caught it? How many people were disturbed by it? I would say very few, because the majority of people loved the supernatural, and they wanted signs and wonders. So they bought plane tickets and went down to Florida to see the supernatural and the signs and wonders. It didn't bother them that Jesus was being denied. If you went down there and you wanted to see the supernatural, and it didn't bother you that the Lord was denied, why is that? Why didn't it bother you? Why? Verse 3, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." What is covetousness? It's coveting. It's when somebody wants things. It's when they want material possessions. It's when they want riches. It's when they want to heap upon themselves material gain, mammon, things of the world. That's covetousness. And it's saying right here that these preachers, these false teachers, they have a problem with coveting. They want material things. They want the earth. And because they want the earth, let's reward it in a different way. They want to be rich. They want to be wealthy. And because they want to be wealthy, they're going to use fancy words. It says right here, with feigned words, they will make merchandise of you. So, their words, they're going to word their little presentation just the right way that's going to get your attention to get money out of you. They will make merchandise of you. That means that they're going to bleed you dry. That means that they're going to present an offering to you that sounds so luscious and juicy in the worldly sense. They're going to make promises to you that you'll give to them. And unfortunately, folks, many of you have done that, haven't you? Over and over I hear these false ministers on TBN and other channels on Christian TV. And it's the same package. The bottom line of the package is to squeeze money out of you. But the package is always worded differently. Whether it's Mr. Huck from Portland, Oregon, or whether it's from Steve Munsey or Benny Hinn or Paul Crouch, Jan Crouch, all those people, they will word their presentation in such a way that it's packaged in a nice shiny book. A lot of times maybe there will be a formula that has to do with numbers. There are 70 promises for this. There are 100 promises for that. There are 100 confessions for this. There are 70 times 7 confessions. They package them in such a way that appeals to your flesh, that appeals to your heart that just wants to gain. But that's what they do with feigned words. That's what it says right here, folks. They make merchandise of you. So that's what they're doing. They're making merchandise of you. And do many of the people have an outcry? Does it bother them? Now, I'm not just talking about Lakeland, Florida. I'm talking about all these frauds that are out there. The prosperity gospel, it's been packaged in such a way that they are feigned words. And the bottom line of this, of the prosperity gospel, is this, folks. They want another house in a different state. They want another vacation home. They want another jet plane. They want another fancy car. They want another vacation. They want to add to their huge retirement fund. So with feigned words, they will package something and make merchandise of you and then have you give. And the majority of people, because they do not know their Bible, to contest the fraudulent words they're hearing, will fall right into the trap and send them their money. Verse 3 right here, 2 Peter 2:3. They will make merchandise of you. You know, at the Todd Bentley meetings, I heard they placed two ATM machines inside the tent. ATM machines, brethren. What, you forgot your cash? No problem. Let's stick ATM machines in there. And the people lined up and pulled cash out, one after the other. They pulled out the cash and put it in the offering bucket. It was brilliant, wasn't it? From the worldly sense, the Todd Bentley ministry was brilliant. They squeezed you. If that was you, congratulations. Merchandise was made of you. You know, P.T. Barnum said it best. How many of you folks remember what he said? There's a sucker born every minute. Those of you that allowed yourselves to be made merchandise, I'm sorry, folks. I said I was going to take off the kid gloves. Merchandise was made of you. You should just take a marker and put a giant S on your forehead, because Todd Bentley made a sucker out of you. Because Benny Hinn, Paul Crouch, all these other frauds are making suckers out of the people of God. And the people of God, because they don't read their Bibles, because they don't know their Bibles, let's just say the truth. How does it feel? How does it feel, folks? Satan is punking all the people in the Christian church. These people that don't want to know their Bible, so they're getting punked over and over every Sunday or at all these revival meetings, taken advantage of. Does it bother them? No, because when a loved one tries to explain the truth, they get mad.
Don't tell me that. He's true. He's a man of God. He's anointed.
Okay? I can't change your mind if that's you. Unfortunately, I can't. But I will say the truth. Making merchandise of you, that's how it was said in the King James time, Here we are, 2008. Let me put it in layman's term. They're punking you. They're making suckers out of the people of God. It makes me mad, folks. And it bothers me that I'm having to use such blunt terms, but I don't know any other way to put it. I really don't. As we move on, in verse 12, look what it says. Now, all of chapter 2 is talking about these false teachers. I don't want to read the entire thing because it's going to take a while, so I'm moving up to verse 12. But on your own, you can read how it's saying that even the angels who sinned, God didn't let them escape His judgment. And just like Sodom and Gomorrah were not allowed to escape His judgment, well, these false preachers are setting up for themselves damnation, judgment from God. They're setting themselves up, folks. Yes, I'm angry with them, but God is going to have the last say in this whole matter. But still, I must warn you that these people are out there. Now, moving on, look at verse 12. Look how blunt God gets right here. Look how Jesus, Yeshua, your Savior, look what He says right here. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, they speak evil of the things that they understand not. When Todd Bentley said, we need more of the supernatural and less of Jesus, he was speaking evil of Jesus. He was speaking evil of righteousness. How could he do such a thing? Easy. It says right here, they speak evil of things they do not understand. So, these ministers that do not talk about holiness very much, and they don't talk about repentance very much, and they don't talk about the blood of Jesus very much, and hell very much, it's very simple why they don't, brethren. Here's why. Because they do not understand those things. That's why. And they're brute beasts. Goes on to say, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. These people shall perish. They will perish. 13. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. What's the reward of unrighteousness, folks? The judgment of God. Condemnation and hell forever. I never knew you. But Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? What would Jesus say? I did not know you. Just because they meet and they use the name of Jesus and assemble does not mean that they're of God.
Well, you're making it harder to understand now, brother. How can we know then if they're of God? You're saying they will even use the name of Jesus and they might not be of Jesus?
That's right.
Well, then how can we know?
Very simple. You got to know your Bible. You got to listen to what they're saying. And if what they're saying, if it doesn't line up with Scripture, then they're a fraud, period. If they're adding to the gospel, they're a fraud. If they're making extra stipulations to get the blessing of God that has to do with money, then they're a fraud. If they're adding to the promises of God, then they're a fraud. It's very simple, folks. It says, do not add or take away from the word. These people do it all day long. They add and make these new promises that they invented out of their head. And the people will buy their book in spite of what they say, and they believe it. Their reward shall be the reward of unrighteousness. And as they count it a pleasure to riot in the daytime, they are spots and blemishes. Look how God is describing these people. These false teachers are spots, and they are blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Sporting themselves with their own deceivings, folks. They make a game out of it. They love it. It's a sport. It's just something they do. They're having fun with it all. Their conscience has been seared that it doesn't bother them to deceive you. So it's fun for them. And while they deceive you, folks, they feast with you. They sit right next to you. They act like they're your friend. But are they? Of course not. Now, what I'm about to say, folks, might even anger some of you. And I'm going to say it, but I'm reading from the Bible. Okay? Plain and simple, these are not the words of Nathan. I'm not making this up. This is the Bible. Now, so far, this chapter is talking about the false teachers and how they want to just get from the people, make merchandise of them, bleed them dry, how it's a game to them to deceive the people, to bleed them dry and get all their material wealth. I will say this, folks, if you show me any minister who is into coveting, who is into the prosperity, and all he cares about is money and wealth, then I submit to you that what the Bible says right here is also involved in their lives. Because this is the Bible, and the Bible does not lie. So if you have a preacher that fits the mold of a prosperity preacher, fraud, coveter, then this part they're guilty of as well. Look at verse 14. They have eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin. So what that means is these prosperity preachers behind the scenes, behind closed doors after the red light on the camera turns off, when they're not on film anymore, when they're away from the public, they're committing adultery behind the scenes. They're having affairs behind the scenes. That means what it says right there. These people are full of adultery and affairs, folks. They are. The Bible says so. In fact, it says they can't quit sinning.
Those are strong words, Nathan. How dare you say that?
Well, I'm saying it. It's the Bible. I'm quoting the Bible right here. How could that be, though? How could this minister who claims to be a preacher of righteousness be full of adultery and sin? Simple. Because they deny the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is the foundation of clean living and holy living and righteous living. The Lord Jesus is the foundation of a person's relationship with God that wants to please God, that wants to live holy and righteous. These people do not talk about holiness and righteousness. I don't hear it from them, folks. All I hear about is earthly getting, earthly gathering, earthly obtaining the things of the earth with wealth and power. That's all I hear about. Feeding the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I don't hear them denying the flesh. I do not hear them talking about how to kill the flesh. I do not hear them talking about the battle against the flesh, on how the flesh wants to corrupt you and overtake you, and how the flesh will deceive you and lie to you, how the flesh tries to win with you in a weak moment. They don't talk about the battle that goes on in the lives of Christians. I don't hear that from them, folks. Why? Because they are coveters themselves, and their flesh controls them. And if their flesh controls them, then I submit to you that 2 Peter chapter 2 right here where it says, verse 14, they have eyes full of adultery and they can't quit sinning. Then it says what it says, folks. These people have closet affairs going on. Shall I name names? You know, a few of them have been exposed lately. Mr. Ted Haggard, the homo, lying to his wife and lying to the media, lying to you. And then you had tens of thousands of ministers who voted him in that had no discernment to hear from God, because all he concentrated on was prosperity and happy things. And according to what the verse we read right here, eyes full of adultery. Now, adultery doesn't mean it has to be with the opposite sex. In his case, he was a homo. I'm being pretty blunt, aren't I, folks? I said the kid gloves were coming off. It goes on, beguiling unstable souls. That means tricking unstable souls. That means the souls of the listeners, the sheep, the ones that occupy the churches and sit down and try to hear a message that is going to help them and their family. The ones that are really desperately wanting to hear something to help them in their broken marriage, or their marriage that's on teeters, that's barely hanging on. Or for the people that really want to hear a message of hope for their kid that is on drugs, or a loved ones that dying of a terminal disease. Those people that sit out there are unstable and they're hurting, and they might not know their Bible, but these false preachers, whose God is Satan, sit there and lie to them and deceive them.
Brother, where's your love? You don't sound like you have much love.
You know what, folks? I have love, but I also have righteous anger. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. It says there's a time to be happy, and there's a time to be sad. There's a time to have love and a time to hate. A time to kill, folks, and to heal. So if you step on a pile of dog doo-doo, then the time at that moment is a time to be disgusted, right? Well, I'm describing these false ministers of Satan, and I'll tell you what, folks, I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted with them. My patience is weary with them, because I see the lies that they're doing. I see the lies that they've done with family members and from friends that I've had, that they've bled dry, that listen to their lies. I have a low tolerance level for these preachers, because they know better. They shall incur a more stricter judgment. And if you happen to be a pastor, a prosperity pastor, and you heard about the watchman, listen to this guy, check out what he has to say, and you are deceiving your flock, or all you're talking about is the prosperity gospel, and you're not bringing them the message of Jesus and Christ and salvation, you're running on borrowed time, my brother. You need to repent. You need to really reevaluate what you're all about. Why are you in business? Are you doing that just to make your bank account fatter, to get that Mercedes that you want, to squeeze your flock dry? Or do you really care about their souls? If you're just doing it to pad your own bank account, then you need to resign and get out of the way. And you know what's inside your heart. And if you don't do it, God's patience eventually will wear thin with you, and He's going to expose you. You will fall. You will eventually fall, my brothers. You can be sure that your sins will find you out. Quit being a fraud. Verse 14, it goes on. They have a heart that they have exercised with covetous practices. They are cursed children. There it is again. Their heart is full of coveting, folks. coveting. They want. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way, and they have gone astray. So, according to what this says right here, some of the people that are now in fake ministry gospel now, that are frauds, some of them started out good and right at one time, but they went astray. Some of them are at different levels. Maybe some of them are halfway to destruction. Maybe some of them are three quarters. Maybe some of them are fully on their way. But nevertheless, folks, it is your job to be vigilant. If you're going to a church and you know that their pastor is having an affair, or you're hearing rumors about it, or you don't hear him really talking about the meat of the gospel, the real importance, then, folks, let me be honest with you. You're wasting your time. Why are you going there? If you're going there just for relationships with other people and you're not getting your soul fed, you're wasting your time. Because you have family members. If you bring family members with you, are they being fed? It's not helping their soul in their eternal walk with God, are they? Or if you have someone at work that you invite to your church, is it really going to change their heart if they come to your church? Some of you need to be embarrassed that you invited people to your church if the people aren't going to have their lives changed. Strong words, folks. These are very strong words. It goes on, verse 15. They have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. They are following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. How many of you have heard the story about Balaam? Remember Balaam's donkey, the donkey that talked in the Old Testament? It's found in Numbers. Balaam was a prophet who, for the right price, he was a very renowned prophet back then. Some of the writings of the Mesopotamian archaeological digs have actually had Balaam's name come up. And Balaam was a renowned seer. He was kind of like a Merlin type guy. He was a prophet. And I'm sure maybe he started out right at one point. But for the right price, he will bless or curse whoever you wanted. He'll give the right little prophecy for a price. That's what he did. For money. That's why he did it. And that's what this is saying right here. For money, these false preachers are doing the same thing. They will give a prophecy that sounds good because that's what the people want to hear. And as a result, what do we see today, folks? We see these jokes, these bozos who travel around when the sermon is over. They tell everybody to line up, and one by one, the people come up and they give private words one by one. And I call them Christian fortune cookies. That's what those are. One by one, prophets of Baal. And then when they're done, the pastor takes them to the side, shakes their hand, and gives them his little check. Thanks for coming. We'll call you in 6 more months, and you can come again. They're prophets of Balaam, folks. Wages of unrighteousness. And there are a lot of them out there. Kim Clement, he's a joke. He's a prophet of Balaam. For the right price, he'll come and rap prophecy to you. To the beat of a bass guitar, he'll rap for you. Another joke. They're out there, folks. Wages of unrighteousness. Verse 17, look what this says. These are wells without water. They are clouds that are carried with a tempest. To whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever and ever. The midst of darkness, that means hell, folks. Hell. Hell's a dark place. Very dark, where the worm dieth not. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of eternal blackness. It says that's going to be their place, right there. The midst of darkness is reserved forever to these wells without water. That means if you want to drink, if you as a heart, as a deer, are panting for the word of God, and you go listen to these people, your thirst will not be quenched in the spiritual realm. In your heart, you will leave just as hungry as you were when you got there. Sad affair, isn't it, folks? They're out there. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. That means they get your attention, and the things they promise are only alluring to you because of your lust. It's because your flesh is alive and well. And when you hear the promises they make of material gain and prosperity, it gets your attention. So all of the people that want to send money to these people are doing it because they have lust. Folks, these are blunt words, aren't they? This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. So there are a few clean ones that escaped from them. The clean ones, folks. Is that you? Are you aware of them? Do you know better? Did you pass the test with Todd Bentley in Lakeland, Florida? Are you one of the clean ones that do not fall for this mess? For these frauds? I hope so. I really hope so. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. So these ministers, these false preachers, these fakes, these frauds, these workers, these delegates of Satan, they promise that the people can be champions, like Joel Osteen does. You're a champion. God wants you to be a champion. He's promising you liberty, folks. But himself, a servant of corruption. Why would I bring up Joel Osteen? Simple. Because he doesn't talk about hell. That's why. Because he doesn't talk about righteousness. That's why. Because someone even asked him in an interview what he thought about evolution. How old is the Earth, Mr. Osteen? Well, whether it's 6,000 years or 6 billion, I don't know. Well, it's up to the people to decide. That's pathetic, folks. You got these unlearned people that are frauds that don't even know the truth. They are servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. So there you have it, folks. Very strong words for these false ministers. By the way, in the book of Jude, it's talked about in Jude as well, these false ministers. So study it. Mark it up. We see this happening right now, folks. And why did I bring all this up? I brought this up and I wanted to show you that it is not a surprise to God that this is happening, because he wrote it 2,000 years ago that this would be happening. Unfortunately, most Christians are too ignorant and don't know their Bibles that they don't know that God warns us on these false preachers in the Bible. And if you try to tell them, they get mad at you. But I just told you what the Bible said here, folks. Now, let's talk. Let's talk about Lakeland. As a believer, your job is to seek the truth, folks. That means experiences of signs and wonders should not be your main priority. Unfortunately, some of you did hear about the signs and wonders, and that's all you cared about. People told you, though. They tried to warn you. Hey, this guy's not up and up. He's not true. He's lying. But did you listen? Some of you did. Some of you did not. Now, am I saying all experiences of signs and wonders are bad? No. As long as they line up with the Word of God, and as long as they are accompanied with the message of the gospel and the cross and salvation. Since we have the Todd Bentley mess now part of history, we need to really learn from this, brethren. We need to make it a matter of a lesson to teach us, to teach our loved ones and our friends, to make it a matter of something that we wisely will use as a preventative measure in the future. What do you mean? You're talking in past tense. Yes, I am. Why am I talking in past tense? Because it has come out now, in case you don't know, the Lakeland revivals, as they were happening with Todd Bentley, are shut down. That was Lakeland 1. Now, Lakeland 2 has commenced, but it's without Todd Bentley. It's happening, I believe, with their pastor there, Ignite Church, in Lakeland, Florida. But Todd Bentley is no more. Why is that? Because it has come out, it has been revealed, it's been exposed, it's out in public, what remnant people were trying to say all along. What the remnant people were trying to warn about, it has come out, and it's out in public. And that is this. Todd Bentley was a pathological liar, and he was a fraud. And he was having an affair with one of his staffers, and he is an alcoholic, problem drinker. Now, how long did it take for me to figure out that Todd Bentley was a fraud? I didn't know about those other parts, about those other things that he was having an affair, adulterer, and an alcoholic. I didn't know those parts, but I knew he was a liar, and I knew he was a fraud. How long did it take for me to know that? You know how long, folks? 2 seconds. That was it. Did I have to buy a plane ticket and go down there to find out? You know, I read on some threads and some forums, people said, unless you come down here and witness it yourself, quit judging. Did I need to do that, folks? No. All I had to do was listen to the garbage that was coming out of his mouth. That's all it took. Look at the guy. I mean, come on, folks. Look at him. He marked up his body that's supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit after he got called to the ministry. Pierced himself with all this body armor. It was a joke. Okay, folks?
What are you saying? Christians can't have tattoos and pierce themselves?
I'm saying the Bible says to come out of the world. It says to separate yourself from the world. Don't look like you're a part of it. Come on, folks. Give me a break. The book of Leviticus says don't print yourself. That's the same as tattoos. Don't do it. You're marking up your body. Well, Todd Bentley did it, and I looked at him, and I said, no, there's something wrong with this guy. And then I just had to listen to him for one sentence or maybe two, and I heard him lying. And that was enough. That's all I needed. But I continued my research, and I listened to some of the things he was saying, and he was throwing in New Age garbage, mysticism, astral projection, soul travel, when the Bible specifically says that those people that do that in the Old Testament should be stoned to death. The New Testament condemns it as well. Sorcery is condemned throughout the Bible. It's Satanism, folks. It's satanic. So I didn't have to go there and watch him, but I did hear what he said, and it was the joke.
Brother, you should have mercy. You shouldn't hit people when they're down.
You know what, folks? He was surrounded by a lot of people who knew to tell him the truth, and I'm sure he heard the truth. I'm sure he heard, but he didn't want to listen to the truth. Now, what exactly happened? He was having an affair, and his wife got tired of it. She knew he was a liar, so he chose to quit. And now it has come out by Peter Wagner, who is supposedly the leader of these apostles, that he's an alcoholic, and Wagner admitted that he was having an affair. A staffer has put it in a blog. It's all over the internet. He was having an affair, and he's an alcoholic. So it's out, folks. This is not hearsay. This is not gossip. Todd Bentley was a fraud. He was an adulterer, just like 2 Peter chapter 2 says. They are adulterers, and they cannot quit sinning. He fell pretty quick, pretty fast, but I'll tell you what, folks. The higher you go, the quicker you're going to fall, and he was too high to not fall this quick. I'm concerned about you, folks. To be honest, he has his chance, and if he comes back to God and repents, that's his business, okay? But I'm concerned about you. Those of you that are listening to me, I'm concerned about you. If you fell for this lie in the past, if you fell for him, that means you could fall for the same kind of lie in the future. So I would ask for you to get grounded in the Word and to learn your Bible and to learn a lesson from this mess. Also, you have some repenting to do, and I would also estimate that you should be apologizing to some of your friends who tried to warn you and you got mad at them and insulted them. You need to apologize to them too. By the way, Todd Bentley got off easy. God didn't have to destroy him and smite him down. He quit. You know, if this goes on forever, he has a chance to stop, get out of the ministry, get cleaned up, and really repent and come back. This is a good thing for him. If he would have stayed in this lie and he would have done it for 10, 20, 30 years and then he dies an old man as a liar, he's on his way to hell then. So this is merciful for him. So hopefully he'll repent. Discernment, folks. Discernment. And this is the other thing I want to talk about. We had these apostles that met, commissioned him to be a new apostle. Rick Joyner, Peter Wagner, Chien, Stacy Campbell, all these jokes, these morons that got on the stage and worshiped Todd Bentley. And they denied any of the questionable things he was doing, and they endorsed him. I say this to you, Mr. Rick Joyner and Mr. Peter Wagner. You are guilty because you have not denounced it. You endorsed it. You endorsed the lies that he was doing. So you're a fraud yourself. You have some repenting to do. And if some of you folks happen to worship these guys, like Rick Joyner, I don't care if he's written a lot of books. I don't care if he has a pretty church, a good location, a huge campus. I do not care, folks. Rick Joyner endorsed Todd Bentley. Todd Bentley was scheduled to go speak at Rick Joyner's 2 days before he quit. Rick Joyner still, after all this time, didn't get it. So you're guilty too, Mr. Rick Joyner. And if I happen to be offending you that might be listening to me because you worship Rick Joyner and you think he's great, I'm sorry, folks. Look at it. Look at the truth. Todd Bentley fell now and he has proven himself to be a fraud. The words that he say are still fraudulent. And still, I have read on forums and threads the people who are still worshiping Todd Bentley saying that the show must go on, and you people that are judging him, God's going to judge you. There are some people that are such knuckleheads and blind that you're still following this mess. I don't know what to tell you. Your heart is hardened. For those of you that might be questioning it now, it was full of lies, folks. It was full of mysticism. Stacy Campbell, you witch, getting up there hissing like a snake. Your God is Satan. You're a witch. You're a pagan. All of you that were up on the stage that day, y'all are pagans and witches and prophets of Baal. That's what you are. I'm saying it, folks. It said in Corinthians, their God is Satan. They say they are righteous, but they're not. And because Todd Bentley fell and it has been exposed that he's a liar, every one of those people are guilty too. That makes their God Satan, unless they repent. Harsh words, folks, but it's the truth. If anyone still ascribes to these false teachings of Mr. Todd Bentley, then you are very, very deceived. And then we have those who follow Patricia King, the other witch, who astro projects and believes in gold fairy dust falling down. You're a witch and you're a pagan. You need to repent too, Patricia King. And you, Joshua Mills, Mr. Joshua Mills, you go to Walmart and buy glitter and put it on yourself. Effeminate fairy, and you know it. And you need to resign and stop lying to the people of God. Your God is Satan. Quit lying to people. Why do you pick glitter, Mr. Joshua Mills? I've listened to you talk. You're a fraud. All of you folks are frauds. Endorsing frauds. Chien, Wagner, Bob Jones. You're peddlers of snake oil with a fake label. By the way, side note, you know that stink of false defrauding of the people of God that's all over Lakeland? That town has a stench of Satanism all over it, of New Age doctrine. It's been stunk up with these false preachers and those false prophets that stood on the stage and stunk up the place. Well, you know what, folks? When I had my vision of God washing Florida with the sponge, you know, I've been wondering if he was trying to wash the spiritual stink that's all over Florida, and what we saw was a physical manifestation in the spiritual realm. God's trying to clean you guys up in Florida, folks. So if you live in Florida, be happy for the rain that came. God's mopping you up, that smell that's down there, that satanic smell of lies and deceit. Is it possible, folks? I believe indeed it is. There are false teachers among us, folks. How many of you are mad at me already? It's time to tell the truth, folks. It's time to face the truth. We are facing very, very tough days ahead of us, brethren. Very tough days. We are in the eye of a storm right now. We had some winds that were blowing very hard just a few weeks ago. We are in the eye of the storm. It's going to last through the election for the next several months. November election till the end of January when the new president is sworn in. That also might be a very calm time. But I say this, brethren, after the inauguration and we have our new president, phase two of the New World Order and the plan of Satan is going to be well underway, and you can expect there to be another terrorist attack to happen in the United States that will issue us into another phase of government intrusion into our lives, of new laws that are going to affect us forever. It's coming. It's coming, folks. A lot of people have seen the visions of the terrorist attack. It's coming, folks. So we have very challenging days ahead, folks, and we need to seek the truth of God more than ever now. We have to be vigilant. Take off the kid gloves and let's just meet Satan face to face and tell them we know who your fraudulent representatives are. We're not going to put up with it. We're not going to listen to them anymore. Folks, they're out there. We need to be very aware of them. Well, this program has gone way, way over time. So thank you for listening. I know that this message was not easy to listen to, but bottom line, folks, the Lakeland, Florida revival had a lesson for all of us. Let's learn a lesson from it. Well, folks, I'm going to end now. Share this message with your friends if you dare. Some of you have friends that are going to get mad if they listen to this, but you know what, folks? We have to get to the point where you do not care what people think. It matters what God thinks. What God thinks is way, way more important. Amen? Amen. Okay, folks, God bless you, and we'll see you next time.